Luke chapter 2, let's begin reading at verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for this day that we can come together in your house. We can join also online and we can worship you as your people. Now I pray that you will open our hearts that we may hear and receive your word. Not so much what the preacher is going to say, but that we would hear and remember what the Spirit will say in the midst of the preaching. Drive that message deep into our hearts, I pray. I lift up other life-giving churches and I pray blessing upon them. And I pray for our loved ones not yet walking in right relationship with you. And I especially pray for sons and daughters who have wandered from the faith. Draw them back to you, O Lord. Don't let one of them be lost, I pray. Thank you for hearing our prayer today that we pray in the only name that matters, the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Observant Jewish families of the first century were careful to follow certain practices following the birth of a child. These were particularly important if the child happened to be a firstborn son. On the eighth day after the birth, there was a ceremony in which the child was officially named. At this time, the son would also be circumcised, and through this procedure would be identified as part of the covenant people of God. Following the birth of a child, the mother, according to the law, was considered ceremonially unclean. In the case of the birth of a son, she was required to be in something like quarantine for 33 days until the time of her purification. Then she would go to the temple, and there are three different sacrifices would be offered. There was the offering for purification and cleansing. There was the offering of the presentation of the child. And there was the offering of the redemption of the firstborn. The sacrificial offering of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons is an indication the couple is not wealthy, but are poor, common people. On this particular day, when Joseph and Mary bring the child Jesus to the temple, everything is proceeding according to the custom handed down and practiced for generations. A young peasant couple is bringing their firstborn son, who's probably about 6 weeks old at the time, for the purpose of fulfilling the requirements of the law. The appropriate sacrifices are being offered, just like they have been done countless times by hundreds of people before them. It's an ordinary day. It's an ordinary couple. It's an ordinary ceremony. Ordinary, that is, until something very much out of the ordinary occurs. Standing to one side in the temple courtyard, surveying the activities around him, is an old man. He was well known to those who worked and ministered in the temple because of his frequent visits there. But he wasn't a person to whom most people would pay much attention. Not a lot is known about this man called Simeon, but our text informs us he had been given a promise from God. While still a young man, God had promised he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon cherished that promise and carried it in his heart. for years as he walked the streets of Jerusalem, or as he walked through the countryside, or as he went to the temple. Wherever he was, he would look at people he passed and wondered, is this the promised one? Many years had passed since the promise was given, and Simeon was now an old man. On this particular day, the Bible says Simeon was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. When he arrived, he saw the usual press of people milling about. But then a young family caught his attention as he observed them engaged in the ritual ceremonies. Something leaped in his spirit, and he knew this was it. He approached the couple, reached out and took the child in his arms, lifted his eyes to heaven, and began to sing. He sang of a promise fulfilled. He sang of future possibilities for the people of Israel that would extend to a promise of possibilities for the whole world. He sang of a Savior. He sang of personal contentment, contentment in a fulfilled promise, allowing him to now die in peace. Through long years of waiting and wondering, Simeon never gave up on the promise. Simeon never abandoned the vision, no matter how arduous the journey. Simeon never grew anxious about what tomorrow would bring because he had God's promise in him. That promise gave him hope. That promise gave him confidence and assurance. That promise carried him through tough times. That promise sustained him during lean times. Sometimes all he had to go on was the promise. But the promise was a present companion. It was a promise of possibilities. It was a promise of something better, something greater, something far more wonderful than what he was presently experiencing. There in the temple on that particular day, holding that child in his arms, all the waiting, all the expecting, all the longing, all the hope, all the trusting, all the believing, all of it came together. It was worth all the years of waiting just for this moment. And Simeon lifted his voice and sang. We don't talk a lot about him, but Simeon is one of my heroes. His name, Simeon, means God has heard. Think about that. For hundreds of years, through the pain and suffering of one oppressive occupation after another, Israel had been crying out for divine intervention. And now along comes a man whose very name is a proclamation of promise. Simeon, God has heard. You know, at the end of the Old Testament, the prophet proclaimed in Malachi 4:2, "But as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall." With that hopeful promise, the curtain dropped. At the end of Malachi, the voice of the prophet was silenced, and Israel spent the next 400 years without a fresh revelation from God, caught in the middle of political intrigue and military conquest as Syria and Egypt jockeyed for position, seeking to impose their rule over the known world. Through 400 years of silence, Israel was crying, longing for a Savior, longing for redemption from the tyranny of her oppressors, longing for restoration of peace and security. And just when it seemed they were completely abandoned, along came a man whose name is an affirmation of hope. Simeon, God has heard. But the Romans are in power. It's okay, hold on to the promise. God has heard. But the people are oppressed. Don't despair. Hold on to the promise. God has heard. But the heavens are silent. Don't lose heart. Hold on to the promise. God has heard. But we can't see anything happening. Never fear. Hold on to the promise. God has heard. And here we sit in this sanctuary on the Sunday after Christmas Day, getting ready to turn the page on the calendar for a brand new year. And while I'm preaching this message, I got to tell you, I feel a little bit like my name could be Simeon. The old year is past. And some of you are still looking for the fulfillment of God's promise to your life. Some of you are still looking for your redemption from pain and fear and bondage. Some of you are still looking for your restoration of peace and joy and contentment. Some of you are at the point where you've concluded there's nothing to the promise of God. Some of you have concluded God has forgotten about his word to you. Some of you may have decided to abandon all hope. But I came to this pulpit today to remind somebody to hold on to the promise. Don't abandon hope. Don't give up on the dream. Don't short-circuit the possibilities. Hold on to the promise. God has heard. He heard you crying at the midnight hour. He heard you crying at the bedside of your loved one. He heard you crying when you were all alone in that dark room. He heard you crying when nobody else knew anything about your heartbreak. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten his promise to you. He has not forsaken you. Hold on to the promise. God has heard. Simeon demonstrates for us patient perseverance. On that day in the temple, he received the reward of patience. And from what the Bible tells us about this man, we can see some characteristics of his life that helped him receive this reward. These are qualities the Lord wants to build into each and every one of us as we prepare to enter this new year looking for the possibility of God's promise to us. First, I want you to see Simeon was a man of excellence. Verse 25 says he was righteous and devout. Simeon had a personal walk with God, a personal relationship with him. This also tells me he lived a life of integrity. Here was a man who waited years for the fulfillment of God's promise. While he was waiting, he walked with God. While he was waiting, he maintained a life of integrity. He was known by those who ministered in the temple because of his frequent attendance there. Just because he had received a promise didn't mean he just sat at home on the sofa and watched game shows all day, waiting for God to drop the promise in on him. Oh, no. Patience, you see, patience isn't really a passive thing. Patience means you're not trying to bring about the promise in your own strength. Instead, it means you're busy wrapping your life around God while you're waiting on him to do his part in fulfilling the promise. You're drawing near to him. You're pressing into his presence. You're making yourself available to be used by him for divine purposes. You don't know when that's going to happen, but you know at any moment God could call on you and you're going to be ready. This active patience is what will position you to realize the possibilities God has for your life in the year that is ahead. It's what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount when he says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I'd like to know if I'm talking to anybody who's been given a promise from God. Now, and I'm, before you answer, I'm not talking about something out of your overworked imagination. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm not talking about something you talked yourself into because it's always been your heart's desire. I'm talking about a specific word from the Lord that is a promise for your life. Is there anyone who has one of those promises? Okay, listen to me. God has given the promise of a powerful possibility. You have cried out for his help. God has heard. Now, you need to rest in the confidence of his promise and the assurance that he has heard. Seek his kingdom, draw near to him, press into him, wrap yourself around him, find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it. When you develop that personal walk with God and live a life of integrity among your peers, you'll position yourself to receive the reward of a fulfilled promise. And not only was Simeon a man of excellence, he was also a man of expectation. Verse 25 says he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That's an expression that summarizes the faith and hope of the Old Testament saint in the promises of God. Here is a man who wasn't swayed by the outward appearance. Here is a man who wasn't moved by the negative report. I've often wondered what kind of boldness Simeon exhibited. I mean, think about it. How would you act if you had a promise from God that you would not die until you had seen the Messiah who was to come? I want to know something today. If you've been given a promise from God that hasn't yet been fulfilled, I want to know, how are you acting? Are you acting like the promise is sure and certain, or are you acting like your situation is hopeless? I'm just going to pause for a moment and let that sink in, okay? So you can think about it. Because somebody who has received God's promise needs to start acting like the promise is true. Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Psalm 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. He has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Romans 8, 37. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to start acting like you believe the promise of Psalm 23 and 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has promised. He has heard your cry. So now act like his promise is true. Live in faith and hope. Live in expectation. Live like you expect just any minute to turn the corner and walk right into the new possibility God has promised. Simeon was a man of excellence. Simeon was a man of expectation. Finally, I want you to see Simeon was a man empowered. Verse 7 says he came in the spirit into the temple. He had been given a promise by the Spirit. All through his life, the Spirit had guided him because Simeon was submitted to the leading of the Spirit. Listen, God has a new possibility for your life in this coming year. It's a grand thing he has waiting for you. But if you're going to receive the promise, you're going to have to listen to the voice of the Spirit as he gives direction to your life. And you're going to have to be obedient to follow his leading. For some of you, that will mean he's going to lead you by some strange paths. For some of you, that will mean he's going to put you in some uncomfortable places. It's going to stretch you. It's going to challenge your long-held ideas and your traditions. God's plan is going to be as unlikely a source for bringing you into the fulfillment of God's possibility as this baby seemed to be for the salvation of Israel. Notice when the Spirit spoke to Simeon and told him to go to the temple on that day, Simeon didn't argue. He didn't say, "Oh, Lord, this is a waste of time. After all, I was just there yesterday." He didn't say, "You know, Lord, I really don't feel up to it today." He didn't say, "Lord, I have relatives in from out of town, so couldn't we just make it next week?" Oh, no. The Spirit spoke and Simeon obeyed. The Spirit called and Simeon said, "Yes." Led by the Spirit. This is what the wisdom writer was talking about in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let me tell you a secret, okay? Y'all gonna like this one. This is going to be good for you all next year. Our lives would be much simpler if we would learn this simple truth. Are you ready? Might want to write this down. He leads, we follow. There it is. He leads, we follow. We used to sing a hymn around the church that said, "In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, the darkest of night, God leads His dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace, we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads His dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads His dear children along." And that beautiful refrain, it's one of my favorites. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. A man of excellence, righteous and devout, a man of expectancy, full of faith and hope, a man empowered, led by the Spirit. This is what will enable us to reap the reward of new possibilities for our lives in this coming year. And before I conclude this service, there's one other thing I want you to see in this song. Traditionally, this song of Simeon is known as the Nunc Dimittis. It's taken from the first two words of the song of Simeon in Latin. Nunc Dimittis, the Latin means now, Lord. When Simeon embraced the new possibility wrapped up in the Christ child, he said, "Now, Lord." When Simeon embraced the one who had not only promised, but would now finally bring redemption and restoration, he said, "Now, Lord." The wait was over. The time had arrived. Now, Lord, now. And it's possible I may be talking to somebody today who has heard the word of the Lord about promises and new possibilities for your life. Promises and possibilities for redemption and restoration. Promises and possibilities for new opportunities. promises and possibilities for new ventures, promises and possibilities for prayers answered and dreams fulfilled and hopes realized. And maybe you've heard messages like the one I've been preaching today before, but just maybe today something is different. Today, in somebody's heart, faith is rising like you haven't known. It's a faith to believe like you've never believed before. It's a faith to embrace the exciting things God has in store for your life in the coming year in a way you've never embraced them before. So you're not looking with trepidation at the fear, but you're looking with anticipation. It's a faith to pursue God and devote yourself to His kingdom. It's a faith to not be swayed by outward appearances. It's a faith to surrender to the leading of the Spirit and to acknowledge Him in all your ways. I want to tell you, if that's you, then this, right now, this is a now, Lord, moment. It's what Hebrews 11:1 is talking about when it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, let me get close to you. The moment you fully embrace it, it's yours. The moment you receive it, it's yours. It may take a while to manifest. It may take some time to get here. But when the promise of God is made and a new possibility is embraced and faith rises in your heart, then it's a now, Lord, moment. You will act for the rest of your life like you already have it when you have one of those now, Lord, moments. You'll never again be the same when you have a now, Lord, moment. Simeon's walking around for years, but he had already had a moment. God had promised. He embraced it. And he's like, I can walk like the biggins because God told me I'm not going to die before I see the Lord's Christ. Hit me with your best shot. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, God said, I'm going to see the Lord's Christ. When you get a now, Lord, moment, when you get a promise from God, you just walk like you already have it because it is His promise, it is certain, it is sure, it will always come to pass, it will always be yes and amen. He is not man to lie. It will always do just what He said He will do. Get me back up here before I get carried away. All right. I just wonder if there's anybody who is ready to embrace the promise of God for a new possibility for your life in this coming year. I'd like to see your hand. Okay. Anybody ready to start acting like it's already yours? Now, Lord. Now, Lord. Now, Lord. The promise is given. The possibility is presented. The faith increases. The assurance comes. And from this time forward, you'll not be like you used to be. You'll be like you're going to be. This is your now, Lord, time. Stand with me, please.